You're listening to Carl and Catherine. Carl and Catherine.
Watch, I'm going to disappear.
I wish you did.
And I'm gone. Hello, everyone. It's nice to be with you. We hope you've had a lovely morning. I still can't get my words out. I butcher the English language like no tomorrow. And I'm proud of it. You've got to be proud of something in this life.
I'm going to refer you to my colleague, producer Jack, who's had a couple of weeks off the podcast. You can react.
Morning.
I thought you were going to say had a couple.
It sounds like you've had a couple.
Had a couple of something.
Are you a couple of what? Excuse me.
Did you pop some pills? Actually, you guys on the other side of the desk appear to be popping all kinds of pills right now.
You're full of them. Mate,
I've been living
on Panadol for the last 4 weeks, if you must know.
Hey, if vitamin C were a person, it would be me right now.
But I don't know where this... Potassium.
I don't know where this cold has come from, but it needs to end and it needs to be cleared now.
I just hope that I don't catch what you have now because I've been in a studio with you.
Mm.
I'm probably going to go down at the end of this.
Hey, I did warn you guys last night. And I don't know whether it's given me, I don't think I'm there yet to have like the husky radio voice, but I think I'm close. Like I just need to get it out of my nose and into my throat.
That's really weird. I don't know how I would feel if I heard you going husky, KP. That would be really bizarre.
I'm glad, it's pretty good.
Can I just say I'm glad that came out here and it didn't come out at the end of the show like last week when you projectiled.
Oh, yeah, that,
yeah, that
cool.
was a
did
moment.
Did you hear that, producer Jack?
I did hear that. That was a moment.
I wanted to project my voice, and I said projectile. Maybe I knew something was happening. Mm. Maybe that was the moment that
you manifested.
Thanks for that.
Is he done?
Yeah.
Just singing one of the songs off my diverse shuffling playlist.
Right, and you're mentioning music, and yet we can't have music in the podcast. So
I was humming. It's different. Speaking of, though, have you noticed there's an ad at the moment that's going to air on free-to-air television about how if you hum into Google Assist, it actually gives you the song? I've never tried it.
Siri's been doing that for, like, easily 5 years.
Test that theory. Hey, Siri, tell me what this song is.
I am so sorry to the podcasters right now.
Who invited the Swedish chef?
Okay, all right, you need to stop.
Okay, I have stopped.
It sounds like you're having a medical episode.
You really need to stop. I'm not... What?
Siri, what's the answer?
There's no way.
This is what I come back to.
If the robots do come to attack us one day and people need to pinpoint the moment that made them turn, that was it. You've heard it on this podcast.
You know you're going well when you can turn a robot. It's a shame I can't.
Turn a robot.
Well, big show today. Alison Newman is our featured artist. She has released a very powerful album. It's called Wolf. Yeah. Really, really interesting conversation. She details in it her journey with postnatal depression, which I think is something a lot of people will be able to resonate with.
Very important chat.
Yep.
And Cosentino as well. He's got a couple of shows at Crown coming up. When it comes to people's minds, I would just love to understand how his works. Like, to be able to put together a show like that. And as he said, like, one of the first big events and stunts he ever did was before he was even famous, cement bricks on his feet down in the aquarium trying to escape.
He also
absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, and he also unpacks how long it takes for an illusion to actually come to fruition as well, which is amazing.
Good question by me.
Yes.
How cool would his warehouse be where he figures all this stuff out? It'd be like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but without the chocolate and more cool devices.
Let me in, I'm starving. It got me thinking, though.
Yes, it got you thinking, did it?
It got me thinking. He's playing at the Palms.
Yes.
Why is it called the Palms? Has anyone thought about that?
Isn't it because there's actual trees in there?
I think there are trees in there. Can we do a quick Google?
Yeah, I will. Talk amongst yourselves.
It's a very random name, isn't
I know.
It?
Have you been to the Palms at Crown?
It's not like the conservatory or anything like that. It's the Palms.
Carl, have you been to the Palms?
Don't think so. Most places. I've walked by.
You've walked by, have you?
Yeah, I went to Club 23 back in the day.
Nice.
Good vibes.
KP and I went to the Palms for the good of this show.
What did you see there?
We saw a Whitney Houston tribute act.
It was great.
It was amazing.
I can't figure out why it is called that.
Nothing's coming up?
Palms of Crown.
So, sorry, podcasters.
Just talking to yourself here.
We will not create a segment called Ask Carl and Catherine Anything because we don't have the answers.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm very good at my general knowledge, I thought.
No, what we do is we have the segment, but then what we do is we actually pre-organise all the answers.
Oh, is that how it works?
That's how it works. Sorry, guys. Spoiler alert. That's how radio works.
Maybe I'll ask my dad. He might know.
Fair enough. Well, KP? If that doesn't make you want to tune into the next podcast, I don't know what will.
And Latte, Latte is dead to me, just FYI.
The rabbit.
She's not dead.
The rabbit is alive, just
she's
dead
just
to Carl.
Dead to me. She's not in my household anymore.
Because you were heartless and got rid
she's
of her.
She's dead. No, it wasn't my choice. I told you.
You could have stepped up.
I actually was. To be fair, I feel like I was feeding her most in the last few months.
Yeah, but you're not
I took good care of her. I could even get her back in her cage. She respected me. She liked me. And now she's gone. Mm. Seems to be a common trend in my life. People who like and respect me go.
Well, on that note, I'm out of here. See you later.
Is that a compliment?
No, it is not. We're out.
Send help, please.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Breakfast with Carl and Catherine.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Happy Monday to you. It's the first day of July, the first week of July.
It's Leo season, everybody. Happy Leo season to you.
I don't think it's quite Leo season.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
What, from the 1st of July?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. Well, good. It's my season then. And Jack's season as well. Who I notice
no
is,
pressure. Is I apologise it is not. July 23.
I told you.
I retract.
Not quite.
Anyway, how are we, guys? Big
we're,
show.
We're here. We're here.
We're bringing a bit of magic to the program today. A little bit later, Cosentino will be making himself known here at Southern FM.
I'm looking forward to that.
And who will our featured artist
be? Alison Newman.
Oh,
looking
spoiler
forward to,
alert.
Whoa, hang on a second. Is that too much of a spoiler?
Wow. I was going to keep it a little bit mystical, you know?
Oh. Okay, I'm sorry, I missed that.
We're very excited to speak to Alison a little bit later. Of course, you can speak to us at any point, 0404 000 736.
I didn't realise you were trying to keep that a secret. I mean, I know we've got a magician on the program, but I didn't realise it was that one. Anyway, text us in, as you said, 0404 000 736.
Hey, funny thing about Cosentino,
he's
in no shape or form a contortionist.
Okay, well, there's fun facts. What are we doing? Fun facts with Catherine now.
And it just went straight over his
Okay, well, the mailbag's coming up after this. 5 minutes past seven. Carl and Catherine with you on the Sounds of the Bayside, 88.3 Southern FM. Morning.
Morning.
That was a George Baker selection, Little Green Bag. Probably the first time I've ever played a song. Right. I want to ask you first of all, Carl and Catherine with you here for your Monday morning.
Why are you pointing at me?
I don't know. Does that sound like an old song to you?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it is.
Well, I know it is, but I had a second thought when I was driving the other day. I had to really think about whether or not that song was as old as what it actually is.
Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Going back to my diverse playlists, because, of course, we know how great my playlists can be. Anyway, I have migrated from the regular music player to the one that lines up with my phone choice these days.
What?
So you know how there's a clearly obvious music player you can use, like that everyone talks about.
Yes, an app you mean.
An app,
yes
a Fi.
I was going to say no one uses their CD players anymore.
Well, that's not true. I've got one in my car. And when I'm going through areas where there's dead spots, if I'm listening to radio, I will chuck it on. Ministry of Sound, 2012 running tracks. Does the trick. Love it. Anyway, I heard that song the other day on rotation because I hit songs on my playlists and shuffle. So I could get anything from Italian music to Christmas music to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I get all of it. When I get the Christmas songs, I'm kind of like, well, not quite. Although it is Christmas in July for some.
Not yet. 25th.
Okay.
It's not Leo season and it's not Christmas in July.
Well, it's close. But it got me thinking, do you reckon these days when you hear songs, some of them are trying to pass off as older songs?
I'm so confused because that is an older song though.
No, I know, but like that, listening to that, I had to really think about whether or not that was from late 60s, early 70s, or whether...
Producer Jack's back. Can we turn his microphone on? Welcome back, first of all. We missed you. Are you confused?
I know exactly what Bianco's trying
Thank
to say.
You.
No, excuse me. But the thing is, trends change, all right? So
no, I get that.
Yeah, that's the point.
You know how there's a lot of artists out there that, like, they have, like, a really cool sound, and you think, oh, yeah.
See? You confused him now, too.
Really cool sound.
Well, I don't understand. Hang on. What's the question?
What does your playlist contain? No. Have you ever been caught out by a song?
Yes.
To the point you've been convinced that it was made in this decade of this era?
No.
Okay, so he's basically saying, does this song sound old? He's, yeah.
But
thanks,
it is
genius.
No, it's
old. I know it's old, but what have you second thought about something? Because I was convincing myself that that song was not from when it was from.
0404 000 736.
Oh, okay.
If someone can please answer Carl's question, because this has stumped me.
I don't understand it either.
It is an older song. Like, it would be different if you were
listening. Okay, I'll give you another example.
Okay, hang on. But it would be different if you were listening, right, to the new, say, I don't know, Olivia Rodrigo song.
Mm.
And it's just come out and you're convinced it's from, like, the 60s.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that's an old song. Okay, so why are you surprised?
What about, hear me out. Sabrina Carpenter, please, please, please.
Yes.
Everyone thinks it sounds like Xanadu, like that kind of vibe.
It has a little bit of it, but I wouldn't say it's almost like
the people making music out there these days are trying to sound old school, like
the
very
people.
Old
so
school.
Just generalizing the whole industry, yeah.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say?
Like
American hip hop artists,
some artists,
Australian international artists.
Aria's top 40, looking at you.
Yeah, New Australian, which we love. Yeah.
I'm still very baffled by this.
I don't understand this. Bianco, you need to start drinking coffee again, my friend. Because this is what happens.
Oh, great. Oh, okay, thanks. Really love the support, guys. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Love having you back, Jack. You've been a notable absence.
Well, you were going to get coffee missing. Carl goes, I didn't realize he was back this week.
I actually didn't. Can we talk about that? You did not say at all that you were coming back today.
Well, to be fair,
Was the message? See you tomorrow, guys. Usually you say that if you're back.
Well, to be fair, Bianco, I kind of kept you in the dark this last two weeks.
You certainly did. I walked in, you were in the dark.
And
I also noted that.
Aren't you lucky to, well, you know.
Who needs the Grim Reaper when you've got the Grim Jack?
I think that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, and I'm here for it.
And with that, we're going to move on, and I'm going to save this show after the break.
If I'm not quite right, it's because I did yoga yesterday. It's 19 minutes past 7.
I had to make a really difficult decision last week.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear from you, Bayside, where you would sit. If you were given the same issue and confronted with the same question, what would have you decided? 0404 000 736. So let me take you back to Wednesday last week.
Yeah.
I drove to work, drove my car into a multiplex car park that we do have, left my car for the day, did a full day of work.
Yeah.
Then went out for dinner in the Cibada, which then ended up at the movies in the Cibada. So I returned back to my car at about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Quite tired, ready to go home so I could prepare for Thursday. Get in my car, turn the key, nothing. No electrics, no motor, no nothing. And I try and I try and I try. And after about 15 minutes, I had to make my peace with it.
You can't get no.
And I try. You've redeemed yourself.
No. Thank you.
So I had to get a rideshare home, which was pretty upsetting. Got home about midnight, had to start my day Thursday. Now, the issue I had was being in a multiplex car park, which everybody uses. You can't just call for help at any point because I'd be blocking people in. So I made a decision that when I actually did call the provider that I'm with, the that I was going to have to wait till after I finished work when all the cars had left the car park so I wasn't blocking anybody in.
Yeah.
And here lies my issue. On Thursday night, I had committed to drag trivia.
Yes.
A whole group of work friends gathering together to do some trivia hosted by a drag queen. And I think I made my decision within 2.2 seconds. It was either leave the car in the car park for another day and God knows what's happened to it, or do I go to Drake Trivia?
It's not that difficult a decision to make, though.
What would have you done?
Gone to Drake Trivia.
Yeah, exactly.
And the car's safe there. It's stuck. No one's going to get into it, and even if they do, they can't move it. So.
Exactly. So I decided...
Argument concluded.
And, like, yes, there was an element of judgment from the person that when they eventually did come on Friday to come and check the car, they said, hang on, it broke down on Wednesday. And I said, yes. They're like, why are we here Friday? And I had to say why. But I made my decision. I'm comfortable with it. And I'd love to hear from you, Bayside, whether you would have done the same thing. 0404 000 736.
Yeah. But you didn't attempt to try and start it on Thursday, did you?
No.
Nah, see. I would have at least done that and said, I tried it on Thursday, didn't start again, so then I made the call to go to the Drag Trivia. Mm. And then...
No, but see, this is the thing, though. When your car breaks down like that, they say if it gets going, you've got to drive it round. So...
But it wasn't getting going.
But if it did, in the unlikely event, the universe would have decided I would have had to have driven the car around, meaning I wouldn't have been able to go to Drag Trivia. So I couldn't even try it.
It's like earlier in the year when I got smoke coming out the front of my car.
Yeah, but your car was fine.
No, it wasn't. I had a pipe dislodged. Now, I'm turning right at City Road.
Mm.
No, it wasn't City Road. Sorry. What was it? One of those roads. Anyway, near the city in the South Melbourne area.
Turning... So it wasn't City Road, but it was a city road.
Thank you.
I got your back.
It was close. Anyway, so when I was turning right, I got smoke come out the front and there was stuff leaking out my car.
Mm.
And so I've just stopped and put my hazards on straight away and been like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Called the RACV and they had to tow me. I couldn't drive the car. But the crazy thing about that is it was to do with like coolant, which is to do with the circulation, like the heat regulation in the car, like making sure it's controlled. And the heat temperature, the heat gauge hadn't gone up. It wasn't a hot car. It was very strange. Anyway.
Well, my car, in the end, just completely disconnected because it's got a battery the wrong size in it. So,
should you really be saying that on air?
Yeah. It's been resolved.
Oh, good. Yeah, it has
been
resolved.
Thanks to my friends at the Shmee 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 B.
Yes, yes. Shmee. They come in handy, don't they?
Shmee Shmee Shmee.
Shmee Shmee. They're good.
Yep.
Thanks. Good chat. This is Fred again. Now you're smiling.
What?
Smile on my face.
We need music behind this.
No, there's no need.
No, we need sad music because this is grim. This is really grim.
Why is it grim? Well, actually, it is kind of a bit, isn't it? Yeah. So, I don't have a rabbit anymore.
I've got a cold. I'm not crying.
You sure?
Although there may be a little bit of that too.
Why am I in the same room as you right now? Can we social distance? Can we go back to using two studios today?
Potentially.
Anyway.
Go on. This is your story.
Are you okay?
To tell.
Are you going to be all right to get through this?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know.
Sure.
Because I'm so sad about this. Anyway, please.
You're really selling it today.
Go on.
So, for the past, what would it be, 2 or 3 years, I've had a rabbit named Latte. And there's, on and off, there has been rabbits in the Bianco household, it's fair to say. We had Coco and Remy.
Yes.
Initially. Mm-hmm. And then Remy had to go back to the pet store because Remy was not right for the household, so we ended up getting Minty.
Yes.
Minty was a little dwarf rabbit, much like Latte has been. Anyway, good news.
Still is, by the way.
Good
still
news. Good news is Latte's not dead, she's dead to me.
Oh. Carl!
Well, I'm being honest. She doesn't live in the household anymore, so unfortunately, we had to give Latte up for adoption. Latte has had to be rehomed. But the good news is Latte's still kicking, just not in my household.
Can I just say, on behalf of the listening audience, and as someone who's been very invested in this, we've spoken about Latte for, I think, maybe on this program every show for at least a month and a half.
Well, I mean, like, not every show.
Yes, we have. We've gone through the journey of you... finding a connection with Latte. We went through the journey of finding out the gender of Latte. You know, there was a lot happening. And then for you just to pull the carpet under our feet like this is just devastating.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't my decision at the end of the day. I couldn't go in and say, hang on a second, I will look after the rabbit. I'm trying to look after myself. I can't look after myself and a rabbit.
Okay.
And a lot of the responsibility, if I'm being honest, looking after myself is enough right now. And I also take on partial responsibility of Fifi too.
Yes.
I basically feed her most days and take her for a walk because she demands it. Everyone else has basically abandoned this dog but me.
Oh, please.
I am her constant. The worst period that she had in her life was the 3 weeks I went away to New Zealand for last year. It was pretty much last week, 12 months ago.
See what's happening? Your conscience.
It's true, though.
Do you think about latte, though? Like, what was the mood like on Saturday?
Yes, I'm waiting till midday to have a latte.
Did you play Time to Say Goodbye?
No, I didn't even get to say goodbye.
Oh!
My goodbye was giving her the leftover of the salad that I couldn't eat the other night.
That's beautiful.
I gave her salad. I took a video of it, so I've always got that with me. It'll stay with me forever.
Is it going to change your coffee order now? Are you going to feel guilty every time you go and order a latte?
No, I was always a long black kind of guy. I've never been a latte, real significant latte person.
Are you going to be like John Travolta in Greece and look off into the distance and see and wonder what latte's doing now?
No, I'm going to sing Latte Fever, Latte Fever.
I'm so upset about this.
I might just buy myself a new one.
No, that would be even worse.
No, because then that way...
You just said, oh no, I don't have enough time to look after myself and latte. You can't just go and get another rabbit.
I'll make that a goal. I'll put it on my bucket list for next year.
I think you need to bring latte back. Who owns latte? Do we know them?
I don't know them. All I know is that Latte has gone to a better place and she's amongst other rabbits now.
What?
She's gone to live in a household.
Are we sure Latte's still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. It's across the weekend. I haven't got a life update from the rabbit. I don't have a number. Latte, how are you going? What's the noise rabbits make? That wasn't a very good impersonation of a rabbit.
If Latte sounded like that when she was leaving...
She kind of did when she ate.
I don't think Latte will be with us much longer. That doesn't sound good.
It sounded more like a photocopier.
Is Latte at Officeworks?
That's it. She pars up with the photocopier well because she was those kind of stripes. Well, valet latte, let's go to a break.
Hey!
We are joined by Alison Newman, who hails from a beautiful part of the world. It is Mount Gambier in South Australia. And she's getting up early for us because, of course, over there it's 7:15. Mm-hmm. It's half an hour behind. Alison, good morning and welcome.
Hey, Alison.
Good morning.
Alison, congratulations on this amazing album. Obviously, we'll get into the subject matter a little bit later, but tell us about Wolf.
Yeah, Wolf has taken a long time. It's taken probably nearly four years of work. There's only five tracks, so you sort of think, what have I been doing the whole time? But it's taken a while, and it's been a lot of fun. I recorded it here in Mount Gambier, did all the vocals in my studio here at home, and I worked with producers in Spain and Argentina throughout the process. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
For sure. And you've been honoured with a couple of awards as well. The Exceptional Merit Award in the Rock Indie category by the Australian Songwriters Association. That must be an incredible feeling to be honoured for the work that you're producing.
Yeah, it's really lovely. When you write your own music, it can be a little bit daunting and you're sort of not really sure why you're doing it sometimes. Because, it's fantastic to have the support of people like you guys and the Australian industry, and then you get paid your 0.0005 cents on Spotify, mm-hmm. and you think, what am I doing? But yeah, it was lovely. And also, one of the tracks on the album that'll be out in a couple of weeks, I won the state final of a songwriter's prize. So we performed that in Sydney for the national prize a couple of years ago. So that was really exciting as well.
Incredible. And you did mention that it is quite daunting to go through the album process. Now, this album talks about subject matter that I think a lot of women will be able to resonate with. Did you want to tell our audience about Wolf and the origin and the journey that it takes the audience on?
Yeah, so Wolf is about my experience with postnatal depression. So back in 2008, when I had my first son, I knew something was up with me, but I was sort of in denial or didn't quite want to admit, I think, that it things were harder than what I really thought they were. I thought, you know, everyone has bad days, your life's completely changed, all that kind of thing, and sort of dismissed it, but found out sort of a couple of years later, sort of diagnosed after the fact, that it was postnatal depression. And then 7 years later, it took us 7 years to go again. That's how, you know, significant impact it was on our lives. Had our second child, and it was, yeah, a pretty full-on experience. I was diagnosed with severe postnatal depression, and through the help of, you know, health professionals, experienced a lot of help. I got medicated. I was being checked on every week by a specialist mental health nurse. So, I had a lot of help, and it was great. And so Wolf sort of tells the story in five tracks of from the moment I started getting those feelings again the second time round. So the track Things Are About to Get Dark, it literally, you know, that moment where I thought, uh-oh, here we go again. Mm. And then each track works chronologically, telling the story till I get to the end and I'm feeling better and life is sweet again.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you're doing okay. And I think it is one of those things, it takes a strong person to go through what you went through, but it takes an even stronger person to then take those experiences and normalize it in a way for other people. So if someone else is going through that, they can listen to this incredible album of yours. What was it like to go back in a way? Like, I mean, obviously you were going through your own healing journey, but to then sit down and pen these songs, I can imagine that would be incredibly conflicting.
Yeah, it was tricky. And look, thank you for those kind words too. I appreciate that. And I think it's the sort of thing that you don't want to go back into. I think that's why it took me 5 years to record, or nearly 4 years to record it. But it's, I felt like I needed to. It's like, you know, any sort of art or creative outlet. It's a way to work through things that I really needed to. I had all these emotions that I hadn't really dealt with, I think. And going back through, as tricky as it was, I feel like what I could share, like when my first experience, I didn't really know what it was. I think if I had heard an album like this, I would have gone, oh, that's me. Like, I feel like really people can identify with the emotions that I'm sharing through the music.
No, 100%. And, you know, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, because I know there's a lot of families that go through similar scenarios to what you've gone through yourself. And I think, you know, the album and the song that we're about to hear is it really paints the picture and tells the story from your perspective. So thank you for joining us and also for bringing us the music.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, we are very, very grateful for you also to have gotten up a little bit early to chat to us this morning, Alison. Now, if people want to find this album and want to find you on the socials, where can they find you?
So my webpage is alisonnewman.net. Alison's got one L, and Newman's just plain old boring new man. And on there's all the links, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and yeah, where you can stream pretty much on all the streaming platforms. I'm there waiting to play my music for you.
That was our featured artist for this week, Alison Newman. As I said, comes from a beautiful part of the world, Mount Gambier in South Australia, and a really inspiring story too.
Absolutely. If you just caught our chat, obviously this album explores some darker issues and some stuff that Alison's dealt with personally. And if you need to find any help, if you are resonating with some of those issues, the best resources for them are the Perinatal Anxiety and Depression Australia hotline, and that's 1300 726 306 or Lifeline 13 11 14.
Carl, Catherine, thank you.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Catherine.
You're listening to Carl and Catherine.
This is Reese Masson. You're listening to Carl and Catherine.
On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Breakfast with Carl and Catherine.
Here we go!
It most certainly is a bigger morning to you, Bayside. Carl and Catherine with you for this very cold Monday morning, the 1st of July. Hey, Bianco.
Yeah.
Have you got your wand?
No, it's in the car.
Oh. You had one job this morning.
Mm.
Luckily, Cosentino doesn't need a wand.
No.
We're just amateurs. But a little bit later, he is going to be joining us to talk about his new show at Crown Casino.
Can you take your thumb and make it disappear?
Have you seen some of Cosentino's work?
I've seen some of the card tricks he can do.
Oh,
I'm impressed.
He does this amazing thing where he submerges himself in water and he gets out terrifying. I've got a lot of questions for him.
Do you think he could fix my headphones?
I want people's nominations this morning. 0404 000 736. What's your party trick? What's something that you can do?
Let's leave this for Cosentino, okay?
Well, yes. Well, I'm sure he would have a heap of them.
Yep.
But I ask because I was doing a bit of reading last week and I read something about one Australian television personality that is so impressive and disturbing that I cannot look at him the same way ever again.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play you some audio.
Right.
Because this person, who I will reveal shortly, can do something with this song.
This is Willy Wonka?
No.
Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. High on a hill was a lonely goat herd. Lay, lay, lay. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat.
Absolute banger. The Lonely Goat Herd.
I thought, can I just say, you asked me to get that up in advance, and when you said, can you get this up, I thought you said the Lonely Goat Herd. I don't. Look, it's similar. If you're not listening properly and I wasn't, sorry. But anyway.
Way to ruin one of my favourite films. The Lonely Goat Herd from The Sound of Music.
Yep.
It is a classic. You didn't know about it. Have you seen the movie?
No.
Oh, you should. It's
not
the best. Julie Andrews, my queen.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Anyway, I was reading a piece in the Financial Review about David Koch, former Sunrise presenter, finance guru. He's doing some work with the Meerkats now, Compare the Market, et cetera, et cetera. And he randomly, in this interview, they were talking about, you know, the fact that we're in a cost of living crisis and we're on the brink of recession and, you know, really uplifting things. At the end, they just said, hey, Koshy, do you have a party trick? To which he replies, oh, yeah, this is going to really embarrass my kids and grandkids, but I can isolate my pecs and flex them to the tune of the Lonely Goat Herd. An incredibly disturbing image. I don't know whether to feel impressed. I don't know whether to feel a bit nauseated. But it really had me thinking, what is your party trick? Because I don't think it gets much nicher than that, Koshy.
There's niche and then there's just disturbing.
But also, I've got questions. Like, at what point, can we get him on the show? I've got to ask him about this. Because at what point, first of all, did you realise that you could do that in the first place? Then that you could do it to that tune? And did you pick that song specifically and train to it? Or was it just like inertia that you just innately was able to do it? Like, I've got so many questions.
Look, that's probably the reason why I always woke up with Carl. I mean, I didn't want to say it, but
he would have some interesting party tricks. But do you have one, Bianco?
I think my party trick is at parties, I always try to be the fun person.
Oh.
I crack jokes and everyone seems to laugh and react to what I have to say.
You're the mushroom.
I never know if they're laughing at me or with me, though, so... Probably a bit of column A, a bit of column B.
Yes, true. I was thinking about mine, and I cannot do them in these pants, but I can do the splits.
Sorry?
Well, I'm not going to do the splits in these pants and split my pants.
Guess what, guys? I know that I'm going to have to pull out a party trick, so I'm going to wear pants I can split in.
Yeah. Well,
or in my case.
I was going to say, I can do the
splits. I just always wear pants that I split in.
Yeah. I can't do the splits in these pants, and you split your pants.
Well, to be fair.
This is why we work so well.
My legs aren't as thick anymore, so I don't think I split things as much as what I did. No, I'm sorry. I'm just throwing it out there. I used to have fatter legs.
My other party trick is I can spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Do you know you actually read my mind? I was going to say one of my other party tricks is I can say long words. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Whatever, but anti-disestablishmentarianism, I'll hit you with that.
Would you like to try supercalifragilistic again?
No, I think you've done that enough. This is me
Jack,
and Trainer.
Do you have a party trick?
Why, has he got one?
No, I've got nothing.
Yeah, I thought so. That's why I went to Megan Trainer. Whoops!
It's Megan!
Whatever.
I say whoops.
You good?
Is it Megan or Megan?
It's Megan. It's not even either of those options.
Do you know what? Can you do the announcing from now on? I'm just not going to say
it. Can I do my best, Carl Bianco?
Go ahead.
Megan Trainor there.
Hang on a second. Okay. I'll give you a chance to do it again. Okay, here you go.
You gonna count me down or not? I say whoops. New stuff from Megan Trainor there. That's Whoops here on Monday Breakfast. Carl Bianco, take notes, please.
Now, I want to talk about butchering the English language. I do it a lot. I'm happy to admit it. But just when I thought I've heard it all,
yep,
I stumbled across this.
If you spread turkey on a torty, fry it, flip it, then add tizay tizaykai and veggies, it is so amazing.
Sorry?
You sound good here.
Can we hear that again?
If you spread turkey on a torty, fry it, flip it, then add tizay tizaykai.
What is tizay tizaykai? Is that person out of their mind? Tizay tizaykai. Where do you start?
Go off.
First of all, what is a torty? I mean, I can see the video. He's wrapping some kind of meat. I think it's turkey by the looks of things.
He says turkey. The first word he says, I think, is if you wrap your turkey.
I get distracted by the turkey. How do you butcher the language so badly? Honestly.
The irony here is unbelievable.
Look, as I said, I am happy to come out and say that I am probably the first person that will make a mistake like that.
Well, you know that Meghan Trainor song we just spun? That's written about you. Whoops.
Thank you.
You messed up.
Is that why the playlist is like how it is today? Because you've just tailored it to me being a mess up? Very much seems that way. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But that's not the only bit of audio that came out of the week. I don't have the other one queued up, but Marcus Bontempelli, who plays for the Western Bulldogs.
The Bont. Loveliest guy.
Somebody on a broadcast said boom blah, 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 something along that caliber.
One of my worst fears is butchering someone's name. Actually, I get so stressed out about it. If someone introduces themselves and they've got a more eccentric name, and if I am mispronouncing it, I will think about it for weeks on end.
Can I ask a serious question here? Why do people name things after serious things?
Jackie's doing this thing again.
Okay.
The questions.
I'm throwing this one out here too. Hear me out. I know these are kind of sensitive, well, not sensitive, but serious topics. But every time I hear about Haspelar in the news, I think of the little short entertainer from Russia. I don't think of, and I don't know. It's bad.
It's bad.
Very bad.
Yes.
It's very bad. But, like, why are things so similar like that? Why is the language that bad that it has to get so close? Something so serious can be identified as something not so serious.
I can't take you seriously. Your hair and the headphones. I know. I'm so sorry, Bayson. I know it's visual, but oh my gosh, if you could see the state of Carl's hair right now with his broken headphones.
Okay, I didn't have time to put any product in my
hair. You look like you're about to star in Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical.
Well, maybe I am. Got a problem with that? Anyway, Tzatzai, butchering the English language. What's the best example of it? I'd love to hear from you on 0404 000 736 or send us a message on the socials at Carl and Catherine or Southern_FM. Love to hear from you. Cosentino, 10 minutes away.
Yes.
Looking forward to disappearing after that.
You know what one of my favourite Lost in Translation moments was?
What's that?
When Demi Lovato got asked once in an interview what her favourite... Well, I can't even remember what the question was, but it was like something about a dish. And she's like, my favourite dish is a mug. What, Jack, can you show some more enlighteners?
I can't, but I remember what you mentioned there. It was highly amusing.
Yeah, she completely missed the question.
Well, as we go into the break, I'm going to leave you with one of the other greatest butchers of all time, and one of your favourites, Catherine, and that's this.
From the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Thank you, Derek. Thank you. I love it when we have a special guest on the program.
I am so excited right now.
We've got one of the greatest entertainers this country has ever seen in Cosentino. Cosentino, good morning.
Good morning. That's very kind of you guys to say. Thank you.
Hey, look, Cos, when it comes to entertainment, not many people can do what you do. And for as long as you have as well, you've got a new tour starting up very soon, Decennium 2.0. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so again, thank you very much. It's a celebration of my life in magic over the last 10 years. I say 10 years because that's when most people got introduced mm-hmm. to me on that little show called Australia's Got Talent. But in the live show, you see people appearing and disappearing and levitating and teleporting, and then there's close-up magic and these crazy death-defying escapes, and it's all jam-packed into a 90-minute spectacular. It's pretty fast-paced, and it's very immersive. Or you can just sit there and watch the show. Or if you want to participate, then you're welcome to. So it's a lot of fun.
For sure. And you talk about your time in the spotlight as an entertainer. I want to take you back to 2010 and the tribute you did to Harry Houdini. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that experience was?
Yeah, so in 1910, Harry Houdini, the famous escape artist, the world's first real superstar, mm-hmm. kind of created that whole genre of celebrity now that we all know about. In 1910, he actually came to Melbourne and jumped off the Queen's Bridge into the Yarra. And in 2010, obviously 100 years later, to the exact same day, exact same time, I wanted to pay tribute to my hero who inspired me to get into magic and escapes. And so I jumped in the Melbourne Aquarium with 60 kilos of concrete strapped to my feet. And the reason why I did the aquarium and not the Yarra was because at the time, no one knew who I was, and it was I wanted the publicity. So I thought, if I jump in the Yarra, you're not going to see me. No one's going to see anything. No one's going to see whether I'm holding my breath, picking the locks. No one's going to know who I am. So I did it in the aquarium, and I was 5 meters deep, and I was under there for almost 4 minutes, and I did it on live television before anybody knew me and accomplished the stunt. And it went all around the world. It went viral before we even had what viral was. And so that was kind of a little breakthrough moment for me way back then.
It is just incredible. And the fact is, for a lot of people, Cos, even you just doing that one stunt would be like peak of their life, the most impressive thing they've ever done. You have had a career of reinventing yourself and thinking of these real death-defying stunts. Like, I mean, when you look back, I just want to know in terms of your brain, how do you keep coming up with ideas like this?
It's, I try to think about if I was an audience member, what would I like to see? What would be thrilling for me? And then I just go, I have a little think tank, and I have a warehouse, a laboratory where I create all these ideas and we experiment and test them more. And I don't know, I'm inspired by film, I'm inspired by books, I'm inspired by other people. And it's never like a moment where you say, okay, right now I'm going to write a new piece, a new effect, a new trick. You're constantly working on it, and you're drawing the inspiration from the past, and so it's and the future. I mean, it comes from anywhere and everywhere.
For sure. And you speak about the future. Is there something on your bucket list you haven't done that could be one of the most ridiculous things anyone has ever seen that you're looking to attempt in the future?
There is. There's a lot of things I haven't accomplished or done yet. You know, I don't want to give too much away, but there's actually a particular demonstration or stunt that I've been working on. Well, believe it or not, I wrote it up back in 2013, and I still haven't been able to kind of bring it to fruition yet because it's a very elaborate demonstration or stunt. So I have ideas that, like, for example, I have a children's book series, but I started that back in 2012, but it didn't get published until 2016.
Yeah.
So these things, you guys will probably know, you're working it for a really long time, and then when the moment's right or the opportunity presents itself, then you can bring it forward. So, yeah, there's heaps and heaps of things that I'm still kind of digging away, chipping away, carving away, sculpting, that hopefully will come to life soon.
Oh, I'm very excited to see all of that come to fruition, which I know it will. Now, as we mentioned, the show is called Decennium 2.0. It's playing at the Palms at Crown on Saturday, July 13th and Sunday, July 14th. How is this show different to shows you've done in the past?
Well, it's the best of my show, but I've taken all my favourite material people have written to me about on socials and kind of put it into a show. And, you know, I always thought it would be so easy because I just used my best material from 10 years, but it became very, very challenging to find the right balance, the equilibrium between, you know, the close-up sleight of hand magic, the escapes, the illusions, because you can't have everything just be crazy, death-defying. You need bits that are dramatic, bits that are romantic, bits that are funny. And so 2.0 is now using, drawing on different material again and kind of weaving it into a spectacle. And taking the audience through this journey that kind of excites them, maybe makes them laugh at points, maybe makes them cry, tear up. So it's it's a combination of all these illusions, escapes, and the close up. My normal kind of, I call it the four pillars of magic.
And how much work and planning goes into these concerts? Because what you do is remarkable. And, you know, I'm sure you say don't do this at home, kids, because it is pretty crazy, some of the things you do. But you've been doing it for a long time. How long has it actually taken you to do this craft?
Well, the material people will see at Crown is a decade. It's 10 years of refining the work. Now, if you want me to break it down, it takes about 3 months for each illusion and about 6 months for each escape or demonstration. So it's really interesting when people say to me, oh, do a trick. You know, they meet me and they say, just do a trick. And it's like, that's 3 months of my life, you know, right there. And the reason being is you come up with an idea, you then kind of make it out of cardboard, you make it out of wood, and then you kind of experiment with it. Then you might go fabricate it. That means it's made out of aluminium. You go to an electrician. You go to a prop builder, whatever it may be. Then you put it on the stage and you've got a light and you've got a costume. You're noticing how long it's taking me just to explain it. And then it takes, you know, a year to really be refined. And it's like a comedian with a joke. Like, you just got to keep chipping away and keep honing it. So it's a long time to really hone the craft and a lot of work.
And I have to ask a question. You say, you know, people come up and say, oh, do a magic trick. Have you ever actually taught anybody some of the stuff that you do?
Yeah, when I was at I'm a Celebrity, I taught Miguel actually how to perform some magic down by the river. So he learned some magic tricks and he then did it. And he still, when he comes to my live show, he still comes in and shows me the trick that I taught him, you know, what was it, 3 years ago?
Amazing.
And so, yeah, no, it's good. I love teaching people that are passionate about magic and that legitimately want to perform it to create, you know, a response, not just to know the secret. So, I think that's really cool.
Well, we were talking, Coz, a little bit earlier in the program about party tricks, and we were going amongst the team and our listeners talking about what's the one thing you can do. It must just be like Sophie's Choice for you, but is there one trick that you just love to do?
Oh, wow. Not really. Do you know why? It changes, like even in the show, it changes show to show, week to week. Anything that produces the best response from the audience at the time, and that altered, just really quickly to explain. So, for example, this show was in Singapore for 3 weeks, as Marina Bay said. They love all the close-up sleight of hand magic, the card tricks. So that was producing a really good result. And so I lent in on that a little bit harder when we were in Singapore. When I was in Indonesia, they love crazy stunts, the escapes. So we pushed in on that. So I'm a bit, I kind of like, it's like a comedian again with a joke. Like whichever joke is working the best in that region, that area, and it changes country to country, state to state, and night to night. So it's really interesting kind of when I go back and I write in my diary, oh, this trick really worked, this trick hit, this one, you know, didn't. It's really fascinating to go back over the years and see what kind of material hits and what doesn't. So it's the one that produces the best response.
For sure. Hey, Cousin Tina, really glad we've had you on this morning. It's been great to have a chat to you. You're coming to the Palms at Crown on the 13th and 14th of July, which is only a couple of weeks away. It's July already. I can't believe it. And we're looking forward to seeing you here in Melbourne at the Palms. For more, we can go to your website, cousintino.com.au, and your Facebook, facebook.com/TheCosentino. Thanks for jumping on for a chat this morning. It's been awesome to talk to you.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you for the support. Cannot wait to see everybody at the show. It's going to be awesome. Cheers, guys.
Good stuff. Cousin Tino joining us this morning here on 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside. Plenty more still to come.
I want to know on 0404 000 736, have you ever been starstruck?
I'm starstruck every Monday at 7 a.m.
Thank you so much. You're only human.
Jack, you really do it to me, honestly. I can't believe I'm in the presence of one producer, Jack.
It's pretty...
means a lot.
Yeah, it is.
I guess you're all right as well.
Yeah, same. I was literally breathing the same air as greatness on Saturday night. I can't explain to you what happened, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So I was very lucky to be invited to the premiere of Beauty and the Beast at Her Majesty's Theatre on Saturday night. A fabulous production. If you can get yourself down there, it is so good.
You got an invite, did you?
I did.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, this is awkward.
Appreciate that. It was really fun. I had a great time.
Anyway, I took my friend, Sahani, friend of the show.
Was it nice to finally be with your people, the Beasts, or...
Oh, he's been working on that, hasn't he? Oh,
go on, tell us more. Please, hit me. I want to hear all about it.
Good on you, Gaston. Someone's got a...
Hoobie hoop. No, that's the wrong thing.
Okay. Anyway, so I went and had dinner with Sahani beforehand, and a couple of my friends got there before me, and they were keeping me posted as to who was on the red carpet, and I was like, oh, yeah. And you never know with these events, right? Because sometimes it's more media people, sometimes it's influencers. And sometimes...
it's you.
There's stars.
Oh, okay.
And I cannot tell you how exciting it was for me when I got a text message saying, Catherine, one of your absolute favourites is here tonight, Lady Julia Morris. Now, once I got told this, I was quite excited because I think I've only been to one or two events where she's been there and I've never seen her in the flesh. Anyway, so my friend was telling me, yes, she's here and she's just done the carpet. We showed up with about 20 minutes before the show started, and it's always so crowded. You know what it's like, any theatre production. Beforehand, everyone's just sort of like milling in the hall before you go to your seats. And so I was leading the charge. So I was up in the grand circle.
Oh, you didn't go and approach her, did you?
No. Oh. The universe decided. So...
sorry, love, just bumped into her.
Sahani and I were headed to the grand circle. My other friends were headed to the stalls. And what's happened is we all walked in together. I led the charge. We were a single file. I've gone to turn around to my friends heading to the stalls to say goodbye and to tell them to enjoy the show, because I'd seen it in Sydney a year ago and it's fabulous. And all of a sudden, I feel someone brush past me. I look over, and the person that bumped into me was Lady J-Mo herself. And I could physically feel the moment my jaw, and like I don't get starstruck, hit the floor. And before I even had time to do anything, she smiled at me and walked on. I've then said way too loudly to my friend behind me, oh my God, I can die happy. And I heard a laugh from her, and I'm assuming she heard me. And I genuinely think, having just brushed past her, I'm 1% funnier now. I just feel like I have just walked the steps of greatness. You know how much I love that woman. I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is a triumph. It's one of my favorite shows. And to see her in the flesh, it was just unbelievable. She looked amazing. She was just owning the room. And so I want to know if anyone else has had a similar situation.
There was an opening for a night a few years ago, premiere, and there might have been an after party. Anyway, I had a couple of bubbly beverages, and I had to use the men's room.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going to the men's room, there was a celebrity, and I may have said hello to them.
Who was it?
Melanie Bracewell.
Oh, yeah, she was there on Saturday night. She looked amazing.
Said something along the lines.
Wait, hang on. In the bathroom? Why were you in the same bathroom as
Melanie
Bracewell?
No, not in the bathroom.
Bracewell?
Anyway.
What?
Let's go to a song, and after that we'll have the reflection section. No, it's
how
not.
How many bubbly beverages did you have?
It wasn't in the bathroom. It was close. This is Sasquatch's Down the Stairs. Sasquatch's Down the Stairs, one of my absolute favourites from back in the day when I was program manager here at Radio Southern FM. Well, that was a very
Radio Southern FM. old-timey.
And back in my day, before...
You're listening to Radio Southern FM. Wow. Now, before we go any further, can you please clarify what you meant about Melanie Braswell?
Oh, sorry, I left you hanging there.
That was so weird.
I was on the way to the bathroom, and as I was there, she was on the side with her partner, and I just said big fan and walked by.
Okay.
There was no exchange.
There was no meeting in the bathroom.
I didn't go into the female bathrooms by accident. No, I did not.
Good.
Just to put it out there, I didn't have a case of mistaken identity and go on the wrong one. It's happened. I can't say I've thought, well, no. Anyway, what have we learnt today? My headphones are busted. I've learnt that.
I've learnt way too many things about you and your bathroom habits, Bianco, but...
What, today?
In the last 30 seconds.
We just discussed it, mate.
All I said was I went to the bathroom. I didn't say what I did there.
And you're mentioning an amazing comedian, amazing New Zealand comedian, and then you're saying this stuff. Ridiculous.
Hey, Misson's got his notes in front of him. Let him roll. Mm.
He's been holding on to this for a while.
I have been. It's been a couple of weeks. But so it's Leo season. Not now, but
23rd.
Later on in July.
23rd.
Seems to be a running theme of today's show.
So that's your birthday, isn't it?
No.
On the 30th, mate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Near the end of July.
Near the end of July.
I didn't say the 23rd. I said near the end.
No, okay.
I actually didn't say anything. I just said it's near your birthday.
Mm-hmm. So we've got a bit of a slip of the tongue from you. The lonely goat turd, apparently.
Jeez.
Well, that's what it is, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Well, it's pretty close.
KP, what is it?
Goated.
Exactly. What else have we got here?
Something that Catherine aspires to be.
Mm-hmm.
Not a goat turd.
One thing that...
Lonely.
One thing that Catherine... aspires to be.
You already are, though.
And look, I don't know. Look, she's aspired to be this. I don't know whether it's true or not. The jury's still out, but apparently you're 1% funnier.
I am 1% funnier.
No, you are not.
Having met Julia Morris, I absolutely have. We didn't talk.
No.
I just sort of like gaped at her, but yes, I am 1% funnier.
Really
by
weird.
Association.
Please never say that ever again.
And the one last thing I have to say to reflect on is our chat with Constantino was magical. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't bad from you, actually.
Thank you.
I didn't mind it.
He's just complimenting me. Is he okay? Does he need to...
No, I am not.
No,
I
clearly. Because you're being nice to me.
I cannot... Well, it's your first week back.
Thanks.
Okay, yeah. I need to ease you back into it.
Just quickly, too, we mentioned our chat with Cosentino. Our discussion with Alison Newman to her new album, Wolf.
Beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
It was a really interesting chat, really candid as well, and good on her for being so open and to help other people, too. Oh, it just slaps.
I just wanted something to go out with today, and I thought, why not go out with a lonely...
Would you like my rendition? Hi, on... Oh, you've come from a weird point. Woohoo.
Well, it's the start of a new financial year, so why not?
Take it away, Koshy. Wherever he is, he's flexing his pecs at the moment.
It's not a very good visual, though, is it? I wake up with today.
This is impressive.
You know what's just as impressive?
What's that?
Colin Torres and the Newsman and his music.
Is he going to yodel?
No, but he's coming up right now because it's time for news.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Carl and Catherine.